today what I want to do is just continue to flesh out for you our phase two COVID response. Last week, if you were here, you know I talked about phase two and SBC's phase two plan. In case you missed it, in case you forgot it, let me give you a quick review. Here at SBC, we are seeing phase two of the COVID pandemic as an amazing opportunity, not an overwhelming obstacle, because we believe that God is repositioning his church. He is scattering his church into the city. He is unleashing his church to bring life to this city, to this region, and beyond. And I personally believe a great move of God is beginning. And as we set ourselves up to be used by God to bring life to this city, to this region, and beyond that, here's what SBC is going to look like for the rest of 2020. We've broken it into four quadrants, if you will. We have online service. We have gathering ministries. We have Serve the City initiatives. And we have home church. Let me review them quickly. We're going to continue online services through the summer and the fall of 2020. And just a reminder, really important reminder, Kim is very excited about this reminder. Next Sunday, our service begins at 10 a.m., not 9:15, meaning the Lindsay Show will start at 9:45. So 9:45 for the Lindsay Show, and then 10 o'clock, our service will start online starting next Sunday and then continuing through the summer and the fall. The second quadrant is gathered ministries. Gathered ministries are SBC events where up to 50 people could be gathered. These include such things as youth ministry, young adult ministry, in-building classes and events, prayer gatherings, kids ministry gathered events, and retiree events. Some of these will start in the summer. Others will begin again in the fall. The third quadrant is Serve the City initiatives. Serve the City initiatives are those activities where we reach beyond our walls to the city and the region. They include such things as Living Medge Market out at Centennial Park, Cobb's Bread, Serve the City Spring Edition, Serve the City Back to School Edition, Summer Neighborhood Kids Camp, which once again is going to be scattered into neighborhoods this summer, Car Care, and Adopt Your Block. And then the last quadrant, and this is the quadrant I want to talk on today, is home church. Since we're now allowed to gather in personal settings with 2 to 6 people from outside of our household, SBC is going to move to a home church model for at least the next 6 months. We're going to use the elements laid out in Acts 2 to form our home church model. Let me read you Acts 2, 42 to 47. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold their property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. I can't read through the book of Acts without thinking, that's a community of people I want to be a part of. A community of Christ followers who were devoted to the apostles' teaching. Think about this. Thousands of people were beginning to follow Jesus. Thus, thousands of new Christ followers needed to be taught about the ways of Jesus, about what it meant to follow Jesus. And so the early church devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. Now, when most of us today think of teaching, we think of information transfer. Yet that's not what we're talking about here. The apostles' teaching was more than just information transfer. In the Great Commission, some of Jesus' final words to us, Jesus said this, "Teach them to obey everything I have commanded you." And that's what the leaders of the early church were doing. They were teaching people to follow and obey Jesus. And we need to do the same thing. We need to be teaching and mentoring people to follow and obey Jesus and journey through their days. And I would suggest to you that's best done in the context of relationship. James Houston was a professor, actually was one of the founders of Regent College. He's now retired, but James Houston once said this, "Disciple-making is not about transferable methods, but about the mystery of two walking together. Methods treat discipleship as a problem to be solved, treats discipleship as a relationship to be lived." And as we as a church move into this home church model, we have a unique opportunity to create a discipleship process that's based on relationships. As you gather in home church, you'll watch the sermon together. But then what you're going to do is you're going to gather around at some point in your home church meeting. Maybe it's over the meal. Maybe it's right after the sermon. You decide. But you're going to discuss together how the teaching can be lived out in daily life. Together, you're going to sit around and in relationship with one another, inspire and encourage and challenge one another to live out the teaching the following week. Together, we'll be inspiring one another, challenging one another to follow and obey Jesus. Second Luke tells us the early Christ followers were devoted to fellowship. While they were growing in their vertical relationship with God, they were also growing in their horizontal relationship with one another. Those early Christ followers were deeply connected to God and each other. Today, while technology makes us feel more connected to each other than ever before, studies consistently find that actually technology has made people feel more lonely than ever before. Which is not surprising because we're created for relationships. And over the last few months, we've really sensed that we're created for relationships. We're created to be with one another. I know many of you, just like us, here at the church, you've moved your meetings with your staff from in-person to Zoom or Microsoft Teams or Google Hangout or some other platform. And one of the things we found as we did that as a staff is we really missed being together. And it's been great this last week when we once again have been able to meet in person. It feels so much better to meet people in person than it does over the internet. And there's a reason for that. We were created to be with one another. We're created to be in relationships. And we all know this. There's nothing like being in a home and sharing a meal with others. And laughing and sharing and crying and talking. There's nothing like experiencing life-giving friendship and community. I believe, as I said when I was out at Lindsay before with Lindsay before the service, I believe sharing a meal together is sacred. I believe there's something that happens around the meal table that doesn't happen other places. And we're hoping SBC Home Churches will give you an opportunity to experience that kind of connection, that kind of community, that kind of friendship. Third, do you notice in Acts 2, those first disciples devoted themselves to the breaking of bread. The phrase breaking of bread refers to a shared meal in which communion was taken. Imagine sitting around the table and sharing a meal with people who care deeply for one another. And as the meal ends, someone takes bread and passes it around, and everybody takes some bread and they eat it. And then they drink wine together. And as you do this, you remember that Jesus died so each of you could be cleansed and forgiven and restored. As you do this, you remember that Jesus is present among you. As you do this, you remember that Jesus has given us an eternal hope. And we want you to experience that in home church. We want you to weekly break bread together. Now, in this COVID world, it might be a more sanitized than breaking bread and passing it around. We get that. But as you share a meal together, we want you at some point in that meal to break bread together. And to remember together the sacrifice that Jesus made and the hope that Jesus gives. We want you to drink together. And remember that Jesus is present among you. I'll be talking a little bit more about that element of home church as we take communion next Sunday together. Fourth, those early Christ followers devoted themselves to prayer. Those early Christ followers were constantly on their knees together in prayer, and their prayers unleashed the power of God. In Acts 4, that's one of my favorite chapters in the whole Bible. In Acts 4, we see the early church praying for great boldness to speak about Jesus. We see the early church praying for God to continue to stretch out his hand and heal and perform signs and wonders. And signs and wonders refer to miracles like healing and deliverance. And immediately after they prayed, the ground shook and they all went out in boldness. The apostles went out and boldly preached the word of God. And the Lord used signs and wonders to confirm the words the apostles were sharing. Listen, if we want to see the book of Acts happen today, then we need to do what they did, and that begins with prayer. There has never been a great move of God without Christ followers lifting their voices together in prayer. On the other hand, when God's people pray, great things happen. And I think there's something deep inside all of us that would love to pray with other Christ followers and then see a supernatural response. And we're going to give you a chance to do that in home group, because one of the elements we want to see in our home groups is we want you to pray pray for each other. Pray for the needs of our country and our region and our city. Pray the prayers of the church. Pray for God to work in supernatural ways. Pray for boldness. We want to give you an opportunity to pray together. And notice verse 43 in Acts 2, it says this: filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed. The apostles were performing signs and wonders, and people were filled with awe. Jesus made it clear his gospel would be proclaimed in three ways, and if you will, a three-dimensional way. First, with words, speaking about the good news. Secondly, with works, practically loving one another, especially the poor and the oppressed. And thirdly, with wonders, supernatural miracles. And in the book of Acts, as you read the book of Acts, you see all three dimensions. It's kind of this equation. Signs and wonders plus proclamation plus care equals people deciding to follow Jesus. Don't you want to be part of a church like that? A church that's proclaiming the good news? A church that's caring for others? And a church that's seeing God work in miraculous ways. And because those things are happening, people turning and following Jesus. Fifth, those early Christ followers devoted themselves to caring for others. Notice verse 45 of Acts 2. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Many of those early Christ followers sold their property and their possessions to help those in need. Now, not every Christ follower in Jerusalem sold their house and their property. We know that because in verse 46, we see that they were meeting in each other's homes. So people still had homes. Not everyone had sold their homes. But the point is this. Those gave sacrificially to care for one another and others. Listen to these amazing words in Acts 4, starting in verse 32. All the believers were one in heart and mind. Now listen to this. No one claimed that any of their possessions was their own. Isn't that amazing? No one used the word mine. Because all those Christ followers, and they were new Christ followers, but they all knew that what they had was given to them by God to steward for Him. No one claimed that any of their possessions was their own, but they shared everything they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of our Lord Jesus. And God's grace was so powerfully at work in them all that there was no needy persons among them. That's amazing. From time to time, those who owned land and houses sold them, brought the money from the sales and put it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to anyone who had need. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that beautiful? That's the church as it's supposed to be. Christ followers are called by God to be people who radically care for those in need, especially the poor and the oppressed. And the early church took this call very seriously. In fact, one of the distinguishing marks of the early church was its sacrificial care for the poor and the vulnerable, both inside and outside the church. And as Christ followers, we today need to follow their example. I'm not saying you need to sell your home, although if God leads you to do that, that's what you need to do. What I am saying is this, as Christ followers, we need to be known for radically and sacrificially caring for other people, especially the poor and the oppressed. Look how the people responded. Verse 46. They ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God. And look at this. This is amazing. Enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. They were enjoying the favor of all the people. People looked at that early church and they were amazed by what they saw. And they were attracted to the church, the favor of all the people. But then again, who wouldn't be attracted to a group who shared their possessions, rejoiced nonstop, had peace beyond comprehension, a love that couldn't be explained, immeasurable power, a care for those in need beyond anything anyone had ever seen. Who wouldn't be attracted to a community like that? And it says the Lord added to their number daily those who were being baptized. Church, that's our DNA. And here at Saanich, we want to see Acts 2 home churches rise up all over the city. As you are ready and willing, you will gather in your home or someone else's home with 2 to 6 others. Now, let me be clear, because there's been a little confusion around this. It needs to be the same people every week. Your home church needs to be the same people every week, and it needs to be in the same home every week. Please don't move from home to home. It needs to be the same host home with the same people every week right now while we're in phase 2 of this COVID response. And you'll gather together and you'll watch the online service. And I know for some of you that's going to be a shock because you're going to have to get out of your PJs and you're going to have to get dressed because people are going to be coming over. Or you're going to be going to someone's house and they probably don't want you showing up in your pajamas. But you're going to watch the online service together. And then you're going to spend some time discussing how you can live out the teaching in your daily lives. You'll pray together. You'll enjoy being together. You'll have a meal together. And let me just be clear, this doesn't have to be anything elaborate. It can be a simple meal. But again, there's something sacred about eating together. You'll break bread together. You'll meet needs together, needs of the people in your home church, needs of the people that your home church knows about, of people both inside and outside the church. In other words, we're going to follow the Acts 2 model of being a home church. And as I mentioned last week, we're going to start organically next Sunday. And what I mean by that is if you want to be a host home, if you want to host a home church in your home, what we want you to do is we want you to invite 2 to 6 other people into your home. We just want you to invite them into your home and start your home church. And so we want to start organically. We want to start with the early adopters in our church and people that are ready to have people into their homes, ready to be a host home. And we want them to invite people into their home. And then this is what I would say. During your first home church meeting, I mentioned this before the service, but not all of you were watching. When you gather together for that first time, I want to encourage you to talk and be vulnerable with one another and talk about your level of readiness. What's it going to look like for your home church to pray together? What's it going to look like for your home church to have a meal together? What's it going to look like for your home church to break bread together? What's going to be involved in those things? What's the level of readiness for the people in your home church to share a meal together? What's that going to look like in this COVID world? You need to figure out, but I want to encourage you at your first home church meeting to have a discussion around that. And then after these home churches start organically, the next phase is Christina and Lindsay Anderson, who are the ones pushing the home church model out for us. They're going to start assisting people getting together in homes. They're going to find host homes, and they're going to bring people that want to be in a home church, and they're going to introduce them to the hosts, and they're going to start creating home churches. We're going to be providing you with guidelines. What does it look like to be part of an SBC home church? There's going to be some expectations, some basic guidelines. Here are the elements that we want in a home church. And I basically just listed them for you. Watch the service, discuss, pray, enjoy time together, have a meal together of some sort, break bread together, meet needs together. Those are basically what we want to see happen. And then we want to resource our home churches well. We want to resource our home church as well. And if you're starting a home church or you want to become part of a home church and you've got questions around this, I want to encourage you again this week, send your questions to office@sanagebaptist.org and we will do our best to answer them. So Lindsay or Christina or myself will get back to you. But if you have questions or you're looking for resources or whatever, I want to encourage you to email office@sanagebaptist.org. Your next step this week is decide, do I want to host, be a host home? So one of your questions you need to ask this next week is, do I want to be a host home? And am I ready at this time to be a host home? And secondly, do I want to be part of a home church? So first question you need to ask is, do I want to host a home church? Second question you need to ask is, maybe you're not ready to host a home church, but the second question is, do I want to be part of a home church? And if you want to be part of a home church and you don't get invited to a home church, please don't feel bad. It's just what's happening right now. We're starting organically. But if you want to be part of a home church, you don't get invited to a home church, I want you to send us an email, office@sanagebaptist.org, and say, I would like to be part of a home church. So if you're not invited by next Sunday to be part of a home church, and you want to be part of a home church, please send us an email, office@sanagebaptist.org, and Christina or Lindsay will get back to you about getting you into a home church. Again, let me say this before I close. You need to be ready. Ready to have people in your home? Ready to go into someone else's home? We're not telling you have to be part of a home church. We're giving you an opportunity. You need to be ready. And as a home church, you may need to be creative. For some home churches, they may decide to meet outside rather than inside because that's the readiness of the people in the home church. Some home churches may sing, some may not. There's a lot of variance in there, and that's why I want to encourage you again, next Sunday, first home church meeting, please have a discussion around all of that. Let me close by saying this. The early Christ followers didn't talk about going to church. They talked about being the church. When you think about it, as someone has said this, the church to open because the church has never closed. Let me say that to you again. Someone has written, the church does not need to open or reopen because the church has never closed. We don't go to church, we are the church. So let's go be the church all over this region. Let's go live 6-8 individually and collectively. Let's walk humbly with our God. Let's love mercy. Let's act justly. Let's gather in homes and share together and laugh together and pray together and break bread together and inspire and challenge each other to follow Jesus together. Let's sacrificially care for people like the early church did. Let's serve our city and adopt our blocks. And let's pray for boldness and for God to work in miraculous ways. Let's go be the church. Let me pray. Father, let's go be the church. Scattering the church. Father, you are repositioning this church. You are repositioning other churches all over this city, the Lord, all over this nation, all over the world. You are doing an incredible thing in the midst of a pandemic to reshift your church, to scatter your church and unleash your church. God, I believe, as I said at the beginning, that we are at the cusp of a great move of you. And so, Father, as we as a church scatter and gather, I pray you will use us in mighty ways. God, may we be a church that learns together and challenges one another to walk with you. May we be a church where we experience community in homes like we've never experienced before, because where two or three are gathered, you're there also. God, I pray we will pray together well. I pray we will care, not just for our own needs, but for the needs of this city. God, I pray that we will see that we, church is not something we come to, but church is something we are. And so, Father, empower us with your Spirit so we can go be the church in the city. Amen.